How many have ever said, oh, I can't talk about the Lord. I can't share about the Lord. I don't know what to say. Anybody ever said that? Of course you have. And that's good. Because how many know we're not the original source or the original message? John said, I came to bear witness of the light, but I'm not the light. We got to get over the fact that it's not about us. It's about Jesus and his ability to work through us. Now, if somebody was down the road, we'll say, and you could see a car was coming at them, now, you're afraid of being hit and falling. Naturally, you should be. Because you know, like I know, what goes up will come down. Right? And we don't bounce well. Now, you see somebody in the line of that car. Does your fear take a back seat to the concern for that soul? Particularly if you know them, but even if you don't? We have to see souls the way God sees them, whether they're in our family or not. It propels us out of ourselves. Now, some, of course, God's gifted for evangelism. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being a vessel, being an echo of God's message. And the truth is, 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, is a great scripture in the 8th verse. Why don't you stand to honor the word of God? The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. You may be seated. Some of the translations of the words come out a little different, so don't let that be a difficulty to you. But I do want to ask you, because I don't think some of these were handed out because Virginia was not here when they're normally handed out, but if you want one of the sheets that Angela so lovingly adjusts to be helpful to you, raise your hand so we can give them. I want to make sure everybody gets one. And her beloved other half will hand them out. Thank you. Raise your hand up so he can see who wants one. While he's handing that out, you know, you always study within the book to understand the importance of that particular portion of Scripture. And this is 1 Thessalonians, which primarily is dealing with the second coming of Jesus Christ. How much more important is it that the message of Christ gets out there? And the truth is, folks, it's actually already inside many people. The Bible says God has written eternity in your heart. So they have the equation already started in their soul. They just haven't gotten the answer yet. Or at least an answer. They might have gotten an answer they like, but they haven't got one that glorifies God. And that is the truth. 1 Thessalonians 1:8. The apostle is writing, the Lord's message rang out from you. And in the original, it means it sounded out from you. Did you originate the message? No. Are you accountable for the message? No. There's nothing wrong with debating. There's nothing wrong with explaining the scripture, of course. But I think there's a lot of people occasionally that think they have to prove God right or something. The Lord knows how to prove it in the soul of individuals. He's the master soul winner, the master of explanation and ministry. I don't think we have to help him. He needs to help us as we proclaim his word. That's rather the truth. But here he's talking about sounding it out. And I thought this was an interesting word, so naturally went to the Greek. Exhale means I sound out and I sound it forth. Comes from two words. You ever wondered why most of these words come from two words? Because God takes one thing and another thing and he blends. That's what he did when he broke down the wall, the partition. He took two and made it into one. God is the great mathematician here. And ek, E-K, means from and out from, and it means among. In other words, it means that sound has to come from within, has to come from within you. Have you ever heard somebody explain the gospel and you know they're not a Christian? And there's no life to it. You know why? Because it's not inside them. The truth is, the message of the gospel is a fountain. It is to come from within. If it just comes from outside, it's hearsay. They won't even allow that in court of law. It has to come from within. So the first part of the word ek, from, and then the second part, ekeo, means to make a sound, and the sound when it struck. I remember when the sound struck me, when I was at that evangelistic meeting, and it just hit me. God's alive. The devil's real. Get off his team. I didn't understand it theologically. I couldn't have explained it at that time. But it struck me. The problem with a lot of people is they're preparing and they're presenting the gospel, maybe teaching Sunday school, maybe presenting in many ways, but it's never struck them. If it doesn't strike you, there's no authority in sharing it. It has to reach home first, right? Absolutely. And it is the word echo that we understand in our language. Now, I was reading some definitions of echo. Here's a couple of them. It means a sound. It means a rumor. It can mean a rumor. It can mean a report, which would be true. And it can mean noise. So, first question, is the message of Christ a rumor? No. The American Heritage Dictionary cites a rumor as a piece of unverified information of uncertain origin, usually spread by word of mouth. Is the gospel unverified? No, it is the only message in the history of mankind that has been proven in the biblical sense, extra-biblically, all the way through. Has it an uncertain origin? No, it's been very detailed as to its origin, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the gospel and the good news, we have nothing. Because the only news I read is bad news. And everything he cited up on that clip there has come to pass in our lifetime and will get considerably worse. Is it a rumor? No, it can be verified. Is it noise? I grew up in a house where my dad, who had his, he had some boils when he was a kid and they lanced him and took out his nerves so he could never hear, which came in handy when we were doing stuff we shouldn't have been doing. But he would talk to us and he'd say, speak to me. There's too much noise. There's too much racket in here. I can't hear what you're saying. And so we would try to speak clearly. And especially when he was dying, I was very concerned about that because I said, Lord, I don't want him to hear the wrong side of the racket. You know, I want him to hear the right message. But noise is a term often used to refer to as unwanted sound. It's just in the way. You can hear it muffled. You can hear it bzzz. It's just, it distracts. In science and engineering, noise is an undesirable component that obscures a wanted signal. Do you know what kind of noise gets in the way of the gospel? Sometimes theology does. Well, I'm premillennial. Well, good for you. Are you ready to go whenever he comes? But I'm telling you, there's theological problems that get in the way of the gospel. Well, my God is a woman. Really? That's interesting. I don't think so. And these things can get in the way. They become noise. They become clatter to the soul of individuals. What did 1 Corinthians 13 talk about? It says about the love chapter. It says all these other things, which are very good, prophecy, wisdom, everything is wonderful. The gifts of God are fabulous. But without love, without the love of God working through them, you know what they are? Noise. They get in the way of the signal. Because some people are so preoccupied with the gift, they're not thinking about the giver and the true gift. So, of these four, the echo is a sound, and it certainly is a report, a good report from God himself. It is not a rumor, and it is not noise. An echo is a reflection of sound as it arrives at the listener, and it occurs sometime after the direct sound. So you have the direct sound, the main sound, the first sound, and then it reflects and is repetitive off of that initial sound. What's the initial sound? The gospel call, the word of God, Jesus. Who is the Logos? Which was in the earlier part, which I didn't highlight. But he is the Logos, the expression of heaven. See, we're not the origin of the message. We're supposed to be an echo chamber for that message. And when it comes and it strikes you, not just in your salvation, but as you live as a Christian and God makes things real to your life, it will very naturally bounce off of you. And it will continue into the lives of the people that you meet and God has for you to win. An echo is a sound, again, from within. It has to be within us. If it's only in your head, you know the old saying, a message to the mind reaches the mind, but a message lived reaches a life. It has to be deeper than just in our theology. And one of the other things that was talking about, the speed of sound, it depends on the medium the waves pass through, depending on how fast it goes. Do you know that we can inhibit the sound and the echo of the message of the gospel because of our vessel, because of our mind, because of our spirit, because of our attitudes? Number of things can get in the way and affect that sound wave. Nothing wrong with the sound, nothing wrong with the message, nothing wrong with the source, but the vessel through which it's carried can obstruct it. Just like that little stone or whatever is obstructing in little Ariana's appendix. No way for it to get out, but there's a way for it to continue to hurt her unless they take it out. An echo. Where do you hear echoes? Primarily in an empty room, in an enclosed room. How many have ever been at the top of a valley and you just want to hear your voice? And Jerry likes to hear his voice all the time, so you know he's waiting for the echoes. A true echo is a single reflection of the sound source. It doesn't change in our vessel. It should only be enhanced and continue on. We do not originate it, thank God for that. But it is supposed to come forth in its pure form, the way God intended it to do. Now the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians here, it said that sound or that echo, it touched Macedonia and Achaia, which is basically Europe and Greece, and other regions at that time. I think it's fabulous that the gospel sound touches our life where we are. But it also touched, it said here, it also went to the other parts of the world. Did you know that your voice can go to the other part of the world even if you don't? Because an echo can do that. It can move. It can go beyond. One of the ways you do that is you invest and pray in Dennis and Mary Ann's ministry, and their ministry echoes to the needs of the internationals, which in turn goes to other parts of the world. It's a great way for the message to echo through, because it needs to echo. The other thing that I was praying about and thinking about, do you know sometimes when the echo is the strongest? When the room is empty. When the valley seems big. When you feel enclosed, like everything's around you, and closing in. That's when God takes your vessel and heightens that sound, and the message goes forth. I was trying not to speak too much this week. Bernita had a great week. But I think sometimes in the midst of the valleys, especially, we think, God can't use me. God can't do anything. Sometimes he does more because we are out of the driver's seat and God's in the seat. And that echo continues to move forward as it should. The gospel message does not change, but I guarantee you, at whatever state and whatever place you're in, when you let that sound come forth, God will make sure it goes where it's supposed to go. And he'll give you the words exactly how to share what he's put in your soul. Now, why would God bring somebody to you if he doesn't give you an answer of the reason of the hope that is within you? The Lord prepares every side of every situation. So if he's going to bring you to somebody, he's going to have the words ready for you. I can guarantee you that. You just don't know it yet. Some of the most delightful times in sharing through the years, I mean, I'm almost amazed as God just gives me thoughts that I know didn't originate with me. And I sit there with wonder as I'm sharing it, because me and him know it's him. I'm so glad the Lord says, you go, you do what I've told you to do. I'm going to script it when you get there. I've got the script ready. Let the echo sound in your soul. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, today for your echo, for the sound of the gospel. Lord, it belongs to you. It's the message you first uttered of old. From the foundation of the world, the Bible says, Jesus was slain before it all happened here, because God knew there was going to be a need. Lord, I thank you so much for your grace and your power and your purpose in our lives. And sometimes at the most weak moment we may feel, maybe we're encased by chaos. Perhaps, Lord, we feel empty in that big empty room. Or we may be dipping down in the well and realize, I have no strength left. Lord, but the truth is, it's not about our strength, it's about yours anyway. When we're weak, we're strong, that the excellency of the power of God would be of him and not of us. And I pray, Father, today that your echo would go forth loud and clear from this church and from each one into all the way around the world, but also certainly touch in this local and in our lives and families and in workplace, wherever we find ourselves. God Almighty, let your word sound forth. Let it come from inside. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're here today, now you can't share a message you don't know, and if it hasn't struck you in your life, if it hasn't made a change in your life, maybe it's because you never truly gave your life to Christ. And you need to do that, because eternity is coming. No matter how long it takes for each of us, it's going to come. And the message is on this side of the border. That's where the gospel sound comes. If you're here today and you'd say, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I've thought about it, I've talked about it, but I've never really allowed him to take over the leadership of my life. I keep leading it and wonder why it doesn't go well. But I want to surrender. I know I'm a sinner and I can't live it on my own. I need Jesus as my Savior. If you're here today, I want you to just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Just raise your hand so I know to pray for you. Okay, I see that hand. Any other hands? Okay. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, for this hand that has been raised, Lord, for this life that you love, that you died for. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as you make them fully aware of their sinful state, we can't add anything to the grace of God. There's nothing we can do. We can't bring enough money or talent or anything. We come empty. We come bare. And you clothe us with your righteousness. Lord, I pray that as this individual surrenders to Jesus Christ, that, Lord, you would make all the difference in the world, change their world, Lord, so their echo can sound out to the world in which they live. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, your blessing upon your word. May it echo in our life throughout this week. And show us people, Lord, that you've prepared for us to talk to, and give us opportunities in prayer and witness to share what you've done in our life. That's where the gospel strikes, Lord. And I pray your blessing, Lord, on each one in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you'd like to stand for the final song.
Time.
publish glad tidings, which means to proclaim it in writing, in word, and in sound. We are inviting everyone that's here to stay for lunch, and we're going to have a great potluck dinner. Some of the folk are home and sick, so feel free to eat for them. But do make sure that the workers get a first round of food before anyone goes back for seconds, of course. But we invite you all to stay and enjoy. Now, I'm going to ask Scott to come up and to pray for the meal as well as pray to close the service.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Father, for the food that we're going to consume here, Father. Thank you for the fellowship, Father. Message today about evangelism. I was thinking about being at the nursing home and people in wheelchairs and don't have a lot of mobility, but God uses us wherever we're at more than we think. And I know that, Lord. So people that feel that perhaps they can't do anything, Father, I pray that you would encourage them that anything that we do, God can use for his glory, Father. So open up our mouths, open up our smiles, open up those opportunities, Lord, where we can tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. I'm asking that this week you do that for everybody with at least one person, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.